Visible is a wireless carrier that is not invisible. It is pretty clear from the name. Actually, radio waves are invisible. And I can say this with authority as a licensed amateur radio operator. That being said, Visible won't be giving you the power to see light outside the visible spectrum. It's actually way better because having that ability would make getting around very difficult and distracting. What you do get with Visible is unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You get one line of wireless, just $25 a month, which is great in these times of economic uncertainty. That is one line for $25, taxes and fees included. So whatever you're doing at this moment, please stop. Switch immediately. Now, monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit visible.com. Wir gerne sehen, was ist los? It's deinen Freund Seth. I'm learning German. Yeah, in case you didn't know what that was. That is me trying to impress you with the little German that I know. Right now, I am actually learning German. I took it in high school. I goofed off the entire time. I did some other language learning apps. They taught me things like where the taxi stand is and how to find a bus, but not a lot of conversational German. Thankfully, that's what Babbel is all about. Babbel teaches you language conversationally, which, let's face it, that is what you want to know anyway. I don't know. When I was in school, you learned like how to count. You learned like the colors. You learned the shapes. Those are all important things, but they don't help you when you're in like Cologne, Germany with Ein Nierenstein, which, by the way, is German for kidney stone, an experience I can unfortunately speak personally to. But I've been using Babbel to learn to speak German again, better than I have before. I actually really like it because it is conversational. It's a little bit more relaxed. One of the things that it does that I really like is it'll sometimes show you what the literal English translation is. And I don't know why, but I find that very helpful in sort of understanding the structure, the grammar of a language and sort of putting myself into that mind space. Since I'm only in Germany for Gamescom, which is like a week, week and a half, I'm not immersed in the German language. I'm not immersed in German culture. So what I do is the second best thing. I'm taking Babbel. Hopefully this year when I go to Germany, I'll be able to impress all the Germans with how much German I know from learning through Babbel. The app has pronunciation recognition, so you'll be able to learn how to speak better with your accent, how to actually properly pronounce the words. That way you won't get made fun of by a group of older German men because you said apple strudel and not Apfelstrudel. No, it's really cool. I'm going to say right now there is a special limited time deal for our listeners. Right now you can get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners, because you guys are the best ones, by the way, at babbel.com/realm. Get 60% off at babbel.com/realm. That is spelled babbel.com/realm. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Listen.
Hello and welcome to Nintendo Voice Chat, IGN's Nintendo podcast. I'm your host, Casey DeFreitas. And Tom Marks is very excited.
Dude, I'm so happy to be here.
I am so excited to have you here. We're also here with Matt Kim.
Hello, yeah, I'm always happy to be here.
And Brian Altano.
Hi, everyone. It's very good to be here.
And if anyone was not happy to be here, they can get the hell out.
Goodbye.
But luckily,
yeah, this is a happy to be here kind of place. Yeah.
I would hope so. We're here to talk about Nintendo. Specifically, today we're going to be telling you about the best games on the Switch you probably haven't played. Because, you know, it's kind of the end of the year. Mm-hmm. We're going to be going on holiday soon. There aren't really any more games coming out. There are a couple of games that you might be interested in here and there,
yeah.
But no really big games that will be taking up a ton of your time. Mm-hmm. And we're also going to talk about a little bit of news and games we're playing and a ton of question block. So, hey guys.
I'm into it.
Also, I wanted to ask, how was everyone's Thanksgiving?
It was nice.
Really good.
Yeah.
Lovely.
Yeah. It was really good.
I was in Canada playing board games pretty much nonstop. Nice. It was great.
Yeah.
I did that thing where I got a large pumpkin pie and had a little bit of it multiple times a day for 5 days straight until I got rid of what was left out of shame and guilt.
Oh, no. I usually do that with my grandma's rum cake. Mm. Didn't have grandma's rum cake this time. Mm. I didn't go home. What about you, Matt?
Yeah, it was nice. It was restful. Had a Friendsgiving since My family never really celebrated Thanksgiving growing up, so it was nice. It was good. And other people do Thanksgiving better than my family.
Oh, what?
It was really nice.
Oh, we also did a Friendsgiving, and it was a fun time with lots of food and D&D.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
It's a good Thanksgiving. So let's go. Let's get into it.
Let's do it.
So this is a list. So let me just start it off now. This list is way too long to actually go in depth with every game.
Yeah.
So we're going to try and keep it a little bit short.
I'm also going to make it longer as we go.
I figured
there are a lot of games and a lot of good games.
Yeah, there are actually almost 3,000 games on Switch right now.
Oh my goodness!
I think another 3,000 probably launched this week, and will next week.
Right, yeah.
That's it. Seems every single week you turn on Switch, you go to the eShop, and there's like a billion more squares to purchase. And I do. I buy a lot of them.
You bought all 3,000.
No, because you know what?
I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, I would. Right? If SD cards were cheaper, maybe. Mm-hmm. Maybe.
I mean,
I like that. That's the limitation.
Yeah.
Didn't they have like a terabyte mini SD card?
Yeah.
It was on sale for like $200 or something.
Yeah, we're like a Black Friday or two away from that being something where I'm totally into it. Yeah.
Yes.
Right now it's the same. It's like the same price as a Switch Lite, which is like.
You might as well just get another console for your other half of the library, right?
That's right. I guess like this is going to be a tough one to break down because this is some of our personal favorite games that aren't really ones that like are super well known. Maybe you've heard of some of them, mm-hmm. maybe you've played a lot of them, but I think for like the average person, it's really odd. I take public transportation a lot, and I see people with Switches, and it's very often I see them hit the home button, mm-hmm. and there's just like Mario and Zelda.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, man, I really wish more people knew that there were more games on the system besides those two.
There are so many good games on the system, including, I'll start it off with, Disgaea 1, 4, and 5 Complete Editions are all on the Nintendo Switch. And I actually haven't played all of the Disgaea games, but I am a fan. But I did ask Damon from GameScoop, who has played all of the Disgaea games and is a very big fan, which game you should get if you are interested. And he suggested Disgaea 5, because with each new one, it doesn't really follow a story except for Disgaea 1 and D2, which isn't on the Switch, but they do add more and more mechanics. If you liked Fire Emblem and like tactical strategy RPGs and want something even more nitty gritty, a little bit more grindy, and just deeper mechanically, Disgaea might do it for you. Mm. It's also quite anime.
Yeah, aren't those games like long even by JRPG standards?
Yeah, so you can finish the story in 40 to 50 hours, but you probably won't.
Wow.
Yeah, it's the kind of game that people are still playing Disgaea 1 because they want to min-max and get maximum stats on all of their characters. Mm-hmm. And that's just how many things there are to do in those games.
Yeah, that's not for me.
But it is for some people.
I'll throw one in right here real quick. Blossom Tales. I've mentioned this game before. It's super good. If you love Zelda, if you liked Link's Awakening, if you love Link to the Past, this is basically like a love letter to Link to the Past. It's super cheap, top-down, pixel art Zelda game with dungeons and like an overworld, really charming characters and everything like that. It's really beautiful, and it plays super well on Switch. So check out Blossom Tales.
Blossom Tales is a fun one.
Yeah.
I haven't played it.
I also don't. I don't even know what that is, but it sounds good.
You do now.
Yeah.
Well, here's this is a tangent, but I do want to ask you. You were real hot on Blossom Tales when it first came out on Switch. And now that we live in a world where Link's Awakening is also on Switch, has your
and
thoughts...
Link to the Past.
Yeah, have your thoughts on Blossom Tales shifted at all? Because I know it's a game that kind of doesn't hide its inspiration.
Yeah, no, I think we can never get enough like good 2D Zelda and 2D Zelda knockoffs. Mm. Like, I think that's something the world needs more of.
And knockoff used lovingly there.
Yes.
Because it's not, like, again, Blossom Tales is very clearly just trying to do that with its own twist. It's got its own thing.
It is unabashedly paying tribute to, like, one of the greatest Zelda games of all time.
Yeah.
Or several of the greatest Zelda games of all time.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll throw one in that I think Pear has mentioned on here. Pear and I think both have talked about this before, but Dandy Dungeon, the Legend of Brave Yamada, I think is the full title.
Yeah.
Dandy Dungeon is a mobile game that came to Switch, and it is so weird and great. It is so silly. It's a dungeon crawler, sort of, but the thing is you're actually playing as a game programmer who's making his own game, and as he adds things to the game, the game you're playing within it expands and changes.
Oh, yeah. I really wanted to check this one out.
It's pretty cheap. It eventually gets a little bit grindy because it was designed initially for mobile, but there's no microtransactions in the Switch version or anything like that. But I was not expecting to have as much fun as I did with it, and it's a really weird, cool little game that'll waste a lot of your time if you get into it.
I mean, is it really wasting if you're enjoying your time?
Well, that's fair. Right. Yeah, Dandy Dungeon's a good one.
I'm just looking at the list here, and I have one that's already on here, so I'm taking it from someone.
Take
that's
it.
Okay. Sorry, but it's VA11 Hall A or Valhalla.
Yeah,
it's a good one. I've actually not played it on the Switch yet, but I did get the Vita version from Limited Run, and I imagine they'll play the same because they're portable consoles, and it's like a pixelated PC game at first, so it's not like graphically intensive or anything like that, so I can't imagine it'll look any different, but it's a really cool noirish cyberpunk anime ass game on the Switch.
Yeah, you play a bartender and you make cocktails,
it's a bartending sim, but you know, and then you meet colorful robots and think about the future and feel sad and stuff.
Because VA-11 Hall-A is kind of a pain to type in the eShop. Just type in Cyberpunk.
Yeah.
And then this game will pop up and probably 11 other games with Cyberpunk.
That is a good tip, though.
Cyberpunk anime bartender, I think, is the optimal Google search for the game.
And then you'll find it.
Yeah.
This was a game that people had been talking about for a long time.
And
then when it came out, I feel like it wasn't received poorly. It just sort of fell off the radar pretty quick, which I was surprised of.
It really feels like a game that should have come out on the Switch before the PC, but it came out on the PC first. So, you know, stuff like that happens. But it feels like a really good mobile game. Honestly, if it was like on iOS or Android, it would have been a good fit for that too.
I feel like there are certain indie games that hit Switch within like a 3 or 4 day window that were not playing like a AAA Nintendo first party thing.
Yeah.
And they have like all this time to shine and they get like amazing sales. And there's other ones that like launch the same week as like something kind of big and just get buried. And really there's not always a ton of rhyme or reason to
that. Well, and that's part of, I think, why this is a good exercise, because I'm sure people listening are already like, okay, there's 4 more games that you can just throw in the pile, like the backlog. But what's really, I think, useful about this is as we go into the holidays, if you find yourself with eShop credits or anything like that, these are essentially just games that, like Brian said, kind of got buried by circumstance in a lot of cases, or came out on other platforms first and are really just now looking back when we have a little free time, maybe have a little extra pocket cash looking for something to sate your hunger, are worth looking back on.
Yeah. It's also a lot of the Black Friday sales and Cyber Monday sales are still sort of happening. So.
Yeah. Still cooking.
Yeah. This is something they had a really good Christmas sales last year, and I picked up like Undertale and Night in the Woods and Just Dance, and I really enjoyed all of those games. I know Just Dance isn't like a small indie game, but it's not like the first thing I get as soon as it comes out, you know.
Right.
I really enjoyed them.
I mean, Nintendo's digital sale just this past week was really good.
It was fantastic.
Yeah.
And all I bought was the Fire Emblem DLC because I wanted to pet the cats. But
I mean, that's a good reason.
I was like, if I don't get it now, I'll miss out on petting so many cats. Mm-hmm. So I just have to do it. And I did. And that's what I bought. And it wasn't even on sale. But,
but then why'd you bring up the sale?
Because I was tempted by all of the other things on sale to buy instead of the Fire Emblem
DLC. And then you
DLC.
Ignored it all for the full price DLC.
Yeah, because I wanted to go in a sauna with Claude and pet cats. I mean, come on. Like,
who doesn't?
You can't beat that.
I'm trying to think the real world analog of this situation. And like, if there was like a Macy's, right? And it was like 20% off everything in the store. And I walked into the store and then there were cute kittens in the corner.
Yeah.
I would probably ignore the sale and just go play with the kittens too.
Okay.
So
yeah,
I follow.
Yeah.
Also, I think that would be like a health hazard.
Yeah. Why does this Macy's have live cats?
It's like just strays.
They're doing like an adoption thing.
You can't just set up an adoption cardboard box in the corner of a big box department store.
I don't know.
I'm suspicious of how much you're questioning cute cats, man.
People go in there and they buy expensive clothes. There's just like cats everywhere. Come on, man.
I would appreciate
sleeping on jackets and stuff.
Okay.
Sleep on the suit. Trying to buy a suit.
We're very mad at this fictional Macy's.
Yeah.
Is what we're saying.
Forget it.
I mean, I'm not. I welcome the cats into my expensive clothing. But
those shoes smell like cat food. It's just like a lot going on, man. I mean.
So not about cats, but about wolves, Okami HD.
What a segue. I love it.
That was good.
Yeah. That was nice.
Yeah. Well, in Okami HD, you play a wolf, which is actually a god named Amaterasu. And it... First, what?
Nothing. I just love that.
What did I...
A wolf that's actually a god. Yeah. It's not wrong.
It's a good pitch.
She can't talk. She still talks in all wolf speak.
Wolf speak.
All wolf speak.
But I learned recently that Okami... is a pun, a Japanese pun, because Okami is God in Japanese, but Okami is wolf.
Oh.
I didn't know until Pear like told me. He was listening to us talk about like, oh, why is it called Okami? It's so weird. Right. And he's like, it's a pun.
It's a good pun. Nice one.
In other words, we're idiots.
And if anybody is wondering, Okami is still a game worth going back to. Mm-hmm. Like if you missed it, especially the HD version just holds up. It is still a very fun game.
The motion controls with the Joy-Con is amazing. And then you can also use the touchscreen, because a whole big mechanic in Okami is that you are using a celestial brush to solve puzzles. So you have to like draw things on the screen to make them happen either in battle, like fast pace, or to solve puzzles. And it's beautiful. You like Zelda games, you'll probably like Okami.
This is like a love letter to vintage 3D Zelda games.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I love the Wii motion control version of it, which is why I never felt the need to play a console version of it, because like you miss out on the brush stroke mechanic. But it's cool. I didn't know that it worked with the Switch motion controls.
Fun fact, the original cover of the Wii version of Okami used IGN art, and it had the IGN logo on it for a very long time.
Technically, it was their art.
That we put a logo on that
the Wii watermark, and they took back,
That's so funny. They basically just Googled their own art.
There's like a...
I mean, I do that all the time.
there's kind of a weird history of Capcom games having like weird flubs and box art typos and stuff like that. Yeah.
But it's fine. We love all Capcom games. Right? Like Monster Hunter. Anyway, what's another game you guys think people should play?
I could say I'll jump on Thumper.
Yep. Thumper!
Thumper's a good one. Thumper is a sort of like horror-tinged rhythm game featuring a beetle flying incredibly fast down like a hell highway full of demons.
Yeah.
And it's really twitchy. And I played this game on consoles. I played this game in VR, and then I played it again on Switch, and I really love it on Switch. So with like good headphones and like having the screen 2 inches from your face, holding the Switch up to your face like that. It's really, really terrifying. And it's also just like very twitchy and really quick. And it's so gut reactionary that if you miss a turn or something and the metal shell gets ripped off your beetle and then you miss it again, you explode. It feels really effing awesome to play this game.
Yeah.
I've actually never played it.
Really?
Yeah.
Very good.
Oh man, it's on my Switch. I should let you borrow it.
The soundtrack's really good. And it's also, wasn't it a VR game first?
Yeah.
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 I don't think first.
Oh, wait. Yeah. Actually,
I think it was.
It became a VR
game? I think it became a VR game post launch. But also, you said horror, and it's not wrong that it's frightening, but also, like, if you're not a fan of horror games, don't be scared away by this one, right?
Yeah.
It's not horror in the traditional sense, like something like Resi or Outlast or something like that.
It's described as a rhythm violence game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's really good.
That's not a bad description. It is more rhythm game than horror or fright. Yeah.
It has an intense aesthetic, but it's not like designed to like scare you with jump scares.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. It does have creeping terrors.
I want to call out for all the people who are going to be sitting around with their families potentially looking for some couch co-op games, Towerfall and Invisigun Reloaded. Mm-hmm. Mostly Towerfall between these two, if you have to pick.
I love Towerfall.
Towerfall it's from the developers of Celeste, or it's the game that came before, and they ported it to Switch with all of its DLC, with an added two characters, which are Madeline and Battleline from Celeste. Mm-hmm. And then, for the first time ever, a 6-player mode and widescreen levels, because the game is originally 4x3. So this is the first time ever that Towerfall has had official widescreen support. And it looks great. It runs great. It is, even before Celeste came out, even before I fell more in love with this developer, Towerfall was probably one of, if not my favorite local, like, couch co-op party game. That it is just so excellent, and essentially anyone can play it because it's two buttons and a joystick or a D-pad. That's it. Towerfall is absolutely one you should be looking at. And honestly, I think it's one of those games where I'm like, just if you have humans to play with, you should own Towerfall.
Is it better than Tricky Towers?
Yes.
Ooh.
I would also say it's just different.
Yeah,
I mean, they're very different.
Like, my friends would prefer to play Towerfall. My, like, dad and stepbrothers and sisters would probably prefer Tricky Tower.
Mm. Yeah.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but Towerfall was an Ouya launch exclusive.
What? Towerfall was exclusive to the Ouya. It was supposedly the Ouya's best-selling game.
Yeah.
And then it thankfully survived by coming to PlayStation 4. And then it went from PlayStation 4 to PC. They made the Dark World expansion. Mm-hmm. And then eventually this year it came to Switch with all of that wrapped into one just called Towerfall, where it was called Towerfall Ascension elsewhere.
Cool.
There's your little Towerfall history lesson.
There it is. Okay, how about, I'll go off script a little bit.
Go for it.
Sayonara Wild Hearts.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Another Switch game that is ironically very similar to Thumper in mechanics. It's also a rhythm sort of rail grindy game where you switch between lanes and then make sure you hit all the notes. And except instead of rhythm violence, it's more of a magical girl anime aesthetic with a pop soundtrack.
Yeah.
Which is phenomenal. So if you're interested in like what Thumper has to offer music-wise and mechanically, but are not into its violent and electronic themes, then consider Sayonara Wild Hearts.
Yeah, I think that's a good shout-out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Man, what do I want to shout-out now? Mm? Oh, Dragon Quest Builders 2. I'm going to steal yours.
Yeah, no, that's good.
Dragon Quest Builders 2 came out earlier this year, and I never played the first one. I really, really love this one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I put in about 5 hours in one sitting, and it just captured me.
And you don't need to have played the first
one. No, you don't. It doesn't matter. It took maybe like 2 or 3 hours to get past all of the like tutorial. It's like really wordy in the very beginning. But
yeah,
once
it really
is. Yeah, but once you get into building your first kind of like camp, I want to call it, or for a stronghold, I was all in. It's really fun.
It opens up a lot after there's sort of like this like pirate ship like tutorial thing where you're talking to everyone and doing everything and like you learn everything pretty quickly and then they just like let you go and it's like this kind of open worldy Minecrafty RPG game.
Yeah. Well, this is the thing about it, the aesthetics especially, because it is blocky and you do blocky building. It can trick a lot of people, and this is why I put it on the list, because I think it gets overlooked because you look at it and you go, oh, that's just Dragon Quest Minecraft. And that's like not
That's what I thought
what
too,
it
and it's not that at all.
It is properly a Dragon Quest JRPG that just happens to use crafting and building in this blocky aesthetic instead of this whole huge, you know, higher fidelity thing like 11 or anything like that.
Also, yeah, you still upgrade and fight bosses and all that fun stuff.
So level up.
Yeah, also one thing I wanted to point out that I was slightly disappointed by, I got it thinking it was a co-op game, and it is not.
Yeah.
So you can't play through the actual campaign with another person. Oh, you can have a world and build it with another person if they also have a copy of the game. So that is the co-op portion of that.
This one launched recently, and it's totally slept on, probably because they launched it without any fanfare, but The Stretchers.
Oh, yeah.
Did you guys play that?
Right. Oh.
Super
I haven't
fun,
played it yet.
Really fun co-op game. I think me and Max Scoville are going to put up a Let's Play this week that we shot a few weeks ago. It's been award season here, so we've been kind of swamped.
Yeah.
But it's really funny. You play basically two ambulance EMT driver people that can drive around their car almost like the Simpsons hit and run, just all over town. And you go to different missions and you pop out of your car and you grab your stretchers and then you grab not corpses, but people who aren't doing great, and you work together to help them get to where they need to go. Also, you put out fires and solve environmental puzzles and stuff like that. So it's got a little bit of Death Stranding in it and a little bit of Overcooked. So
love
first
it.
Party Nintendo game, The Stretchers.
Yeah, just sort of quietly stealth launched in the busiest part of the year.
Yeah.
But here it is. It's there.
I think the first time I heard about it was on an ad on Facebook.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Day it came out.
Yeah, I think it was similar. Sort of people were like, oh, here's a thing. And then everybody was freaking out because like, oh, this is a first party Nintendo game. And people were like, what?
Yeah.
It's wild. But honestly, it's sort of weird. I'd rather Nintendo just do weird things like that and kind of feel okay to just release a random game than them not doing that at all, I guess.
Yeah. I like how Nintendo saw Overcooked and was like, how about that, but with medical emergencies?
Overcooked is a genre now.
Yeah.
It's so weird to say that, but there's actually, one of the games that came out this week that I was going to mention later called Tools Up is also basically just Overcooked, but you're renovating a house, right? And there's there's another one called Moving Out that's basically Overcooked, but and for those of you who haven't played Overcooked, the idea is kind of cutesy, cartoony, quick rounds, co-op game, top down, all very weird physics-based, mm-hmm. where you all just have to work together to do a task as quickly as possible and then get to the next level.
Also nonstop arguing.
Yes, yeah. That too.
There's a Mario Party game that's basically Overcooked. If you've ever played the Mario Party game, you have to make burgers with your teammates. Like, yeah. That is what Overcooked is.
Yeah, yep. It is.
Yay. I mean, I
never put that together. Yeah.
I thought they were based on those Diner Dash mobile games. Isn't that, you know, where you build burgers piece by piece and then mm-hmm. deliver it to customers? Is sort of the inspiration I saw from Overcooked?
Yeah.
But
no, you're not wrong.
But then add co-op.
Mm-hmm. Add co-op and physics is essentially what they did. And then people were like, oh, we can just make this for any household activity.
Yeah.
Any occupation. Mm-hmm.
Guys, there's so many games on this list. There's no way we're going to get through all of mm-hmm. it.
How many more should we do?
Let's do one more round.
One more round.
Okay.
Wait, Matt didn't get the last one.
Okay.
No, yeah. I just did Sayonara Wild Hearts.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
No. That was two.
Okay.
I gave three.
You gave three? Well, okay. Someone go. Skip me.
Okay.
Skip
me. I want to shout this one out. I'm pretty sure Logan Plant, our NBC production assistant, added this one. It's The Tourist. This game just released last month, and it went really unnoticed. It's a quirky exploration puzzle game. You tour about 8 different paradise islands, completing tasks for villagers and exploring ancient monuments with Breath of the Wild-esque technology. There's a fast RMX/F-Zero inspired arcade game inside. Short run time, took about 6.5 hours to 100%. It's really charming.
So I've been eyeing that game, mm-hmm. and I had no idea it launched already. I could have sworn it was like coming soon. I was like, oh, I'm really excited to play that. I had no idea that game already came out.
Thanks, Logan.
Wow. Yeah, thank you, Logan. That one looks really cool. It's like a voxely hero man in a sort of Hawaiian shirt going on adventures. Yeah, I think it was part of like an indie showcase at some point. Mm-hmm. And I always track those things and pay attention to when they come out. And I didn't for this one because I'm bad at my job sometimes.
There's a lot going on right now, Brian. Yes. I think we all can understand.
I have a weird one. Skyforge Reloaded.
Okay.
It is, or Skyforce Reloaded, I'm sorry. It's a top-down shmup where there are RPG elements and your little ship gets stronger and stronger and better and you get better and better at sub-weapons. It really sort of is kind of bullet helly, but also kind of nudges and inspires you to go through multiple playthroughs of each level mm-hmm. and get awesome at them. There are like little soldiers or like civilians to save as like submissions, stuff like that. And there's a lot of sort of like meta missions of like, oh, like do this without getting shot or do this without shooting or anything like that. And I really, really dig it. I sunk like 20 hours into this game. Just like, I don't know why. It's the kind of thing you can have like some dumb TV show on in the background and just marathon through it and grind. Skyforce Reloaded, if you're looking for a top-down shooter.
Okay. I'll bet for Inside, which is...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, which is one. A Playdead side-scrolling platformer, puzzle platformer, I guess. Yeah. It's if you played Limbo, same verve, same vibe, you know? Dark, ominous, vaguely Nordic feeling, where you play as a young child who has to... I think you try to break into a factory this time mm-hmm. instead of escaping from anything. But anyways, it gets twisted and dark and does a lot of creepy monsters. And if you die, it's horrific.
Yeah. Has one of my favorite endings of the generation.
I know it was nominated for Game of the Year that year.
Yep.
Did it win?
No.
I don't know. I wasn't actually here for that.
But Ryan McCaffrey gave it a 10.
Yeah.
10
out of 10. Yeah.
It was very good.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Aesthetically, I like it better than Limbo, but it plays pretty much the same as Limbo.
I think there was like a double pack on Switch of mm-hmm. both of them. I don't know if that applies to digital, but
if you haven't played Limbo, get both. It's great.
Yeah.
Fun. Should I just go down this list and name off these games?
I'll do one more kind of specific shout out. There were a lot of games that I wanted to list that, and we could still name them just because they're really good. But maybe one of the more unsung ones, and that is a pun. Is Wandersong.
Hey.
Wandersong is a game that is a side-scrolling adventure game where you play basically a bard who sings and you use the right stick to sing and the direction you point is a different color and a different note and you can just sort of sing along as you go. It's very cute. It came and went, unfortunately. Not a lot of... I mean, it was very well received and it's a lovely, lovely game. It just sort of... quickly disappeared from the conversation, which made me which was unfortunate because it's very, very pretty. One of the things I really appreciate about it is that there's no combat in it.
Mm-hmm.
The game opens where you are running towards some monster with a sword, and as soon as you swing the sword and hit them, your sword breaks and then instead you sing at them. And it's like the intro of the game literally teaches you right off the bat, this isn't a fighting game. Mm-hmm. You're not going to solve things by fighting. This is a singing game. And it teaches you it in this very horrible, hands-on way without words, right? Like, it doesn't say that to you. And it's just a very cute little adventure game with a very, very clever singing mechanic. And it's, if people liked, I'm trying to think of other games like it that people would dig, but all of them are also indie and you wouldn't know. So check out Wandersong.
Now here's a quick list of all the games we wanted to talk about, but don't really have the time. But if I do say something that one of you are very passionate about, it, please interrupt me and tell us about it. Ori and the Blind Forest Definitive Edition.
That's an amazing game. You should play it immediately.
Yeah, if you haven't played that game, play it.
One of the best Metroidvanias on Switch, which is saying lots. There's a lot of them there.
Yeah, 100%.
I feel like this is going to happen now.
Katamari.
To be fair, that was a very Brian and Tom game.
Yeah, absolutely.
Katamari Damacy Reroll. AI Somnium Files. It's a kind of, it's new. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh no, I'm going to interrupt myself.
No. Yeah, no, I got you. It's written by the 999 guy.
Yeah.
And so if you like his work of like twisty, cerebral visual novels, I think this is in the same vein. It's been on my list for months.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think that there's a demo out for it. I know there is one on the PS4. I'm not sure if the demo is available on the Switch, mm-hmm. but yeah. I know it's out there.
AI the Somnium Files is also one that our own Mitchell Saltzman will pitch to the ends of the earth. He's a huge fan of this game.
Based on its pedigree, like despite its like anime aesthetic, it's going to be very smart, very like touch on like heavy philosophical themes, stuff like that, I imagine, just based on who wrote it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but if you like those kind of games, this is it.
Check it out. The Binding of Isaac Afterbirth Plus.
Binding of Isaac stays one of the best roguelikes ever made. It just flat out.
Top-down procedurally generated roguelike Zelda starring an aborted baby fetus.
Wow. I mean,
wonderful.
That's accurate, but
it looks
that's what it is.
I know. It's based off a myth.
Yeah.
It's pulling from mythology.
He was born. Never mind. We won't get into that.
Either way, this game was banned from Nintendo consoles for a very long time until now.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Play the game that's too hot for the Nintendo DS.
Katana Zero.
Great.
It actually just got a hard mode added a few months ago well.
Mm-hmm.
Golf Story. I don't know how
golf-based RPG game. Yeah. It's a good time.
Yeah. I don't know how to pronounce this. V.
Yeah,
I think you did it. Yeah,
that's right. It's six capital V's, and it's a lovely gravity-based puzzle platformer.
And now we're on to Tom's random too long list. Wilmot's Warehouse, Dandy Dungeon. We already talked about that.
Yeah.
Gato Roboto.
Ooh, I love Gato Roboto. It's a really good game.
Gato Roboto is very cute Metroidvania.
Yes, it's you play as a cat that goes into a robot, as implied by the title. And also you can get GBA cartridges that give you different palettes to play the game in because it's a two-color game. There's only two colors in the whole game, but the value is still there, I promise.
Rain World, Valkyria Chronicles 1 or 4.
Yeah, one and four are the only ones on, and you don't have to play one to have played the other. If you are a fan of Fire Emblem and want more turn-based strategy, JRPG love, play either or both of these games. They're both phenomenal. Valkyria Chronicles 1 is still one of my probably top 10 games ever.
Mm. Pikuniku.
Pikuniku's lovely.
Cute game.
Warframe.
Warframe's free and great and really intimidating, so don't feel bad if you don't play it.
It's but so it's intimidating, great. You guys.
It's a lot to take in.
Hand of Fate 2, which is something I've been wanting to play. It's like it's like has like cards but also action adventure RPG kind of stuff.
It's kind of like a board game where you build a deck of cards of like encounters and then also a deck of card of equipment that you can find from those encounters, and you walk around little boards, and it's got a campaign like story in it, but then when you do a fight, like you land on a fight card, you actually zoom into the fight and you go into a 3D battlefield, and it's Arkham style combat that's pretty good. And yeah, it's really a really weird, unique game that is pretty phenomenal, actually.
I really need to play that game.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds cool.
Battle Chef Brigade, which Miranda Sanchez wanted us to mention as well.
Yeah, it's basically Iron Chef mixed with a match 3 mixed with a fighting game.
Yeah.
Yeah, Zach Ryan reviewed that game. He really liked it.
It's lovely.
They recently published a Battle Chef Brigade art book that has actual recipes in the back that you can cook from.
Oh, man, I need to buy that.
Not containing real monster parts, though.
No, no.
I mean,
but you can I mean, there's
is a cow a monster, you know? Like,
is a cow a monster? Yeah, okay.
I wish we had a real kitchen here.
I need a long weekend to unpack that one.
You ever see a cow in real life? They're weird looking. I don't know.
Oh, that's no. True.
What are you saying, Casey?
I was just saying, I wish we had a real kitchen in here so we could make video game-based foodstuffs and expense it and then eat it.
I agree.
Yeah. Yep. And lastly, Flint Hook.
I like this game a lot.
Yeah.
All right. So those.
Cool. I've never played it.
We are out of opinions. We are fresh out of opinions. Thank you for listening.
That was a very long list. I hope it's helped some of you maybe narrow down or maybe just frustratingly expand your backlog of games. You're welcome.
There are always too many games. Yeah, right. These are just good ones to maybe cast an eye back on.
Yeah.
Yeah. I actually added up the prices, and if you buy them all, don't.
Said the man who owns 90% of them.
I don't own 90% of them.
You might. This list, you might.
Maybe.
Oh, no.
You have some weird... You have some... Yeah, you and I had a talk about our varying and differing tastes in video games, but how we're still friends.
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice.
I was thinking about it for Thanksgiving, actually. Aww. I was very appreciative of the fact that Brian and I have similar tastes, but we disagree on a few things, like fundamental things, like pretty hard.
Yeah. He likes card stuff. I'm not...
Yeah. But even more than that, like... I love Hollow Knight. You dislike it for some specific but totally valid reasons, right?
Dislike it. I just think other games are
not into it as much. Yeah,
but we agree on everything all the
time. The real overlooked Nintendo Switch games are the friends we made along the way.
That's true. That's true.
No, I'm appreciative of people having disagreements with people, but not having it be like a fight. Just having, just disagree about stuff.
It's like that's a left and right Joy-Con. Yeah. They look similar, but they're a little bit different. And although sometimes one of us may drift, we need to come together to play the Nintendo Switch, available now in stores. Parents help you with it.
And sometimes you have to go away for a while to get fixed up. But anyway.
Oh, no. Wow.
This took a turn.
Tom's going to jail.
No. And now on to some news. Originally, the section said that there is no news. Is that news? But I found some news. So, okay. Some very, very small news, including Link is coming to Super Mario Maker 2.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's weird. I mean, cool.
Did you guys get to play that or see that at all?
I saw it. I didn't play it. We had a demo build in the office. Mark Medina got to check it out. He put up some video content for that. I walked by a conference room. Sneaky thing about here at IGN, all of our conference rooms are just like glass. And so every now and then people come by with new cool stuff that's a secret. And I walked by and I just kind of like... was like Charlie Bucket in Willy Wonka and put my face against the glass and was like, what's going on?
Yeah, and then everyone comes over to editorial. It's like, hey, there's Zelda in Mario Maker over there. And everyone's like, what? And everyone gets over and goes over and tries to like look into the room, even though it's super obvious and you can tell that everyone's trying to look. But that by the time everyone went over to look in the room, there's no more Zelda stuff on the screen.
Yeah, it's interesting because I really, really like Super Mario Maker, and I feel like the conversation kind of stopped there because I'm not like a hardcore game designer and I'm not a great speedrunner. And so I think that like the tool set that they provided players was amazing, but then the conversation kind of quieted down when they stopped adding new content to it. And even though there was always spaces for more stuff, we didn't really see anything else for a while. And then they just put a whole bunch of new stuff in this game, and it made me think like, oh yeah, it's like really hard to make a video game. Mm-hmm. Like we're sitting here being like, make a Game Boy color palette version, and it's like, no, they like to add like a moving spike in that game is like a whole thing that has to be tested through 1,000 different measures and for 1,000,000 different things. So I'm really happy this is here. It gives people a reminder that this game came out. If people bought a Switch on Black Friday or they're getting one for Christmas, this is a sort of shot in the arm to, you know, or a kick in the ass to be like, Mario Maker 2 is a really good game and you should play it. And I'm also really excited to see what speedrunners do with this so I can watch those videos.
Yeah. Well, this is so exciting too because 2 weeks ago we had that question block question that was about how Super Mario Party and are you disappointed that they haven't done any DLC for it? And we brought up in that conversation like, yeah, and also Mario Maker hasn't gotten anything yet. Mm-hmm. And that's also disappointing. And now we got new Mario Maker stuff. Yeah. It's so exciting.
It was like the day after we talked about it.
Yeah. It's so quick like, after.
It's also like, it's super weird. It reminds me of something from like NES Remix because like you can straight up control, like it is like it looks like a ROM hack.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Like in the like a professional legal ROM hack in the best way possible. You can play as Link and you can throw bombs and deflect things with a shield and do downward thrusts and you can shoot arrows in three different directions. Like it's super weird.
Yeah.
This is a very bizarre thing to do, but it's like taking two of their most familiar IPs and kit bashing them together, which is something we've seen happen a couple times over the last few years. And I really dig it. Like Link showed up in Mario Kart and now we have this. And then there's Smash Brothers, obviously, where they've been beating the crap out of each other for decades now. So it's really cool.
I can envision like this being an ongoing trend, you know, maybe an annual kind of thing. Like,
yep.
Pit. you know?
Yeah.
Would make a lot of sense for a Mario Maker 2 DLC kind of thing.
I would love climbers. Any kind of new Kid Icarus stuff would be great. There was that promotional image for Super Mario Odyssey a couple years ago where on Mario's suitcase that was covered in stickers for all his travels, there was like a Hyrule logo.
Yeah.
And it was like, are we going to Hyrule? Can I throw my hat at Link and become the Link?
Oh, yeah.
Didn't happen, but still, I'm glad that these guys are hanging out.
I'm really, it's interesting because my initial reaction to this too was I'm a little disappointed there's not like a full theme. It's not full Zelda theme, right? But at the same time, the Zelda Master Sword power-up that Mario can get and you can put in the level that gives him all these abilities that Brian said is actually almost kind of cooler than just a theme.
Yeah.
Because it's not just a visual thing. The gameplay that we put up, this is fundamentally changing what you can do, and it's fundamentally creating new possibilities for levels and new possibilities for creators that just a theme or just like one or two new items wouldn't really accomplish in the same way. The fact that you can shoot arrows diagonally is an ability Mario has never had. And
it's sort of like the 3D world stuff. It kind of breaks the language of this game in that it doesn't actually apply to all of the sort of color palette or, you know, sort of game filters that are available. Like you can't jump into 3D world as Link. That's not there. That doesn't exist.
Yeah.
But this feels like a very tiny make good for the fact that the first game had amiibo costumes where you could play as like 100 different characters.
Yeah.
And this one gutted that. So yeah, this is a definite good step in the right direction for this game. Hope it keeps growing.
Yeah. And just really quickly, it's now been a year since Super Smash Bros. Ultimate has come out, and it's also the 18-year anniversary of Melee.
Wow.
Wow.
I'm not still playing Melee, but I am still playing Smash Ultimate.
People are still playing Melee.
Yes, they are.
It's still a tremendously popular game.
I'm still using the same controller I used for Melee for Ultimate. So.
Is it the Wave Bird? Because that thing will outlive us all.
I do still have a Wave Bird, and it still works perfectly.
This is a weird tangent, but I was recently at Disneyland with Ryan McCaffrey from IGN and Jake Baldino from GameRanks, and we went on Splash Mountain, and I found out that there's an entire like meme culture around bringing things on to that ride, and people have brought GameCubes, a like giant photo of a flat screen TV, and then a bunch of GameCube controllers to pretend that they're playing Melee as they're doing the drop. That rules.
That's amazing.
I'm just going to take a moment to shamelessly ask the community for help. One of our original Smash Bros. Controllers, one of our original GameCube controllers, I got it from my brother over the weekend because it's busted. And it's one of the ones that's purple on top and clear on the back.
Ooh.
Or maybe it's the other way around. I can't remember. But it doesn't work anymore. And I want to turn it into something. And I don't know what to turn it into. Like maybe a little candy bowl or something.
Yeah. There's a.
If anybody has any ideas for cool projects.
A lamp.
Turning a GameCube. Yeah, like something like that. Tweet at me, at Tom R. Marks.
There's a subreddit where people fill dead hardware with beans.
What?
mean, have you seen that?
I'd like to do something a little more than that.
No, but have you considered a bean controller?
Touche. Good point. Strong counter.
I think you should get it like gold plated and get a big thick chain and wear it.
But it has beans in the
Like a bean necklace.
Yeah, do it.
I'm gonna come back in a week and be like, yeah, I don't know. And then it's like,
a Flav clock full of beans.
And screw it up.
Well, no, because then you're just walking around and be like, you smell good. You guys smell beans?
Yeah. I don't really know if I want that to be my thing.
Also, if you're hungry, you can just reach down and eat a bean.
It's a terrible idea.
Don't do that. Don't do any of that.
Casey's gone off the rails.
It's fine.
Don't do it.
So I know that we've asked this question many, many times before, but Bobby Blankenship on Facebook asked, who is your dream DLC fighter for Smash Bros? Because we're getting more.
For me, it's still Sora. I think they've satisfied a couple dreams. Like probably my dream would be Banjo before they did Banjo. I think Sora from Kingdom Hearts is unlikely given their history with Cloud and sort of the iciness of Square Enix, seeming iciness, I should say. We don't know for sure. But I think if they could get Sora in there with Disney characters. See, this is the thing. It's like, it's crazy unlikely.
Yeah.
But if they could do that, it would be my total dream.
I've been talking about this on Podcast Beyond recently. I really want them to finally get some PlayStation exclusive character in there. So this is like Smash is a celebration of video games. It's a big party and everyone's invited, and Sony PlayStation isn't. I mean, we've had characters that are sort of there, like Persona
Joker,
characters.
Joker and Snake are the closest.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, we have Cloud.
Yeah.
Cloud, what? Cloud
Cloud's
is
everywhere
not,
now, though.
Cloud hasn't been on a Nintendo console, though.
Isn't Final Fantasy VII on Switch?
But it is now.
Oh, yeah, it is now. Yeah. Gosh.
And phones and pacemakers.
Okay, well, it used to be a PlayStation exclusive.
That's true. Yeah. That's true.
You kind of associate Cloud with a PlayStation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like Brian said, they're almost, right? Yeah. Like yeah. Snake is a similar thing. Snake mm-hmm. is very strongly associated with PlayStation,
mm-hmm. yeah.
but isn't just an exclusive.
I would love like Kratos or Nathan Drake or even Aloy or something like that.
Yeah. I think Aloy would fit really well, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. For me, I think it's... I used to like scoff at the idea of like M-rated characters coming to Smash, but that clearly is not the case anymore. So now that floodgate has opened, I'm very interested in hoping to see maybe Resident Evil characters appear on Smash. You know, Jill Valentine, Chris Redfield.
I thought you were going to just say Mr. X.
Mr. X, yeah.
Oh, he'd be great.
That'd be great, yeah.
Because the rest of them really just use guns, right?
Guns, yeah, but they're cool. In,
so
like,
does Joker and Snake.
Right, there's a lot of gun wielders true. In Smash
the,
now.
Yeah,
the
there
best,
are.
The best Smash player in the world right now, MKLeo, says he wants Leon from Resident Evil to be in Smash.
Yeah. Leon was
even though
those...
there's a caveat, he said he probably wouldn't like playing as him, but he wants him in there. Anyway.
Resident Evil 4 Leon with the the jacket, and he does the backflip. If he does all the melee stuff, like the backflips and kicks and stuff like that.
Well, Leon was one of the ones we were speculating ish on back a while back because of the Resident Evil 4 connection. That game is so associated with the GameCube, I feel like, in a really significant way.
Yeah. 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 That or Travis Touchdown. From No More Heroes. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Ooh, Travis is a good fit, too. Yeah.
Suda has said like 100 times that he really wants that to happen, too.
Just let him do it.
And they're doing three. They're doing No More Heroes 3. I know. It's not like that series has gone away.
Know, maybe. I mean, there's so many there's characters coming in, and there's like so many possibilities. So who knows? One of us is probably right.
I really like the idea of Travis's down B being like he sits on a toilet.
No.
Casey, did you have one?
I want a Hunter from Monster Hunter with the clutch claw.
Rathalos is already there.
Yeah, exactly. Or a feline.
Bloodborne.
Yeah, that one. I mean, PlayStation exclusive, that would be the one.
Would you be cool with one of the stories ones of someone like riding a little Rathalos?
Yes, I would be super down for that.
Cool.
I also really want a Monster Hunter Stories 2 on the Switch. Just throwing that out there.
Can I real quick do one more and cheat? Beautiful Joe will never happen, but Beautiful Joe would fit into Smash so well.
I want that dude to come back so bad. Beautiful Joe 1 and 2 are like some of my favorite games.
Mm-hmm. They're
just gone and no one talks about them anymore. They just vanished.
Yeah. They're made by the same people who made Okami, Clover.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Why did Okami come back but not Beautiful
Joe? I don't know.
Well, we'll never know. But we do know there's some games coming out this week.
Yes.
Including,
how dare they?
That aren't Beautiful Joe, I'm sorry.
Oh.
Including Farming Simulator 20.
You say farming?
Farming Simulator 20.
That's not what I heard.
What did I say?
Heard farting simulator.
In case you can't do it yourself.
That's when you can fill your controller with beans. That's the game you play.
No, but Farming Simulator 20. I first heard about Farming Simulator back in 2012, I think, and there was this meme going around where someone put Farming Simulator to the song Bangarang, and it was like, it was just absolutely stupid and ridiculous. And I was interning at the Future US offices, and I remember everyone just like sharing this video and like laughing and being stupid about it.
This is one of those franchises that like that prove I have no idea what I'm talking about because if you ask me like. When this first came out, like, oh, will this be a hit? I'd be like, no. And it's like tremendously popular. People love these games.
It's huge in Europe.
Yep.
And I remember one of the funniest press emails I got was the announcement of a farming simulator esports league where they do competitive virtual haystacking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so just
amazing.
Yeah. So the real life practice of haystacking, but in Farming Simulator turned into a competition 1v1.
It's insane. I love it.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Farming Simulator, along with stuff like Euro Truck Simulator and American Truck Simulator and all those simulator games, are the types of games I'm not interested in, but also I'm not going to yuck anyone's yum. If you're into those games, awesome. Now 20's on Switch, but otherwise, I'm like, yeah, okay, cool.
This is, So I wrote an article about Farming Simulator back in 2016. but it was because, so there was a bunch of like hubbub about Fallout 4 and Elder Scrolls 5 Skyrim not having mods on the PS4. Mm-hmm. And then Farming Simulator came out, Farming Simulator 17 came out. I was like, we'll support mods like immediately right after. And wow. I just thought it was funny. And they actually let me embed, CG Magazine let me embed the Farming Simulator Mad Skill No Plow 360 Crop Rotation video into the article.
Oh, yeah.
So if you guys want to read about Farming Simulator,
go do that.
It's called Day Saved. Farming Simulator 17 will support PS4 mods.
Day Saved.
It's true.
That's very good.
Also coming out this week is Earth Knight on the 3rd. I don't know anything about this game.
Earth Knight's a really cool, weird game that I've only played a little bit of, so I don't know its lasting power. This originally got launched, I think, on Apple Arcade and just came out on Switch and PC. And it's a roguelite. It's one of those roguelites where you do runs, and when you lose, you restart, but you've unlocked new things for the next runs, where you are skydiving from a spaceship, falling towards the Earth, and their sky is full of space dragons, like long kind of ancient.
You're making this
like,
up?
No.
He's making this
like,
up.
No, they're like the long type of dragon, right? Like serpent type dragons. And there's all different color of space dragons. And you land on a dragon and you have to guide yourself skydiving. And when you land on a dragon, it turns into an endless runner side scroller game where you have to bounce on monsters' heads and collect all this treasure on the back of the dragon. And when you get to its head, you have to kill it Shadow of the Colossus style. And then you like take a tooth from it, which gets you new resources, and then you jump off of its dead body and land on another dragon, and you get as close to the Earth as you can while
this is just
dragons.
Space Monster Hunter.
Yeah, Matt,
I think
you're right. I think you made that up.
I don't believe you.
Awesome. No, that sounds like when I used to have to do book reports based on books I didn't read. Of Mice and Men is a book about a man who is also a mouse. And who wouldn't be a mouse? They're such great animals. Thank you for watching. See you guys soon. I'll be back in summer school.
It's really cool. Earth Knight is a really neat game. One of the things that you might appreciate actually about it, just to call it out, Brian, every song in the game, I think, is available in both like instrumental, actual instruments, and then chiptune.
Oh, that's awesome.
And you can set in the menu whether you want to hear the chiptune version, the instrumental version, or randomly pick as you're playing. And the music's super good, so it constantly like goes in and out as you ride dragons until you murder them.
That sounds like a really cool feature that you definitely just made up.
No.
Is Tom
no, it's
telling
real.
The truth?
Who knows?
Yeah.
Tune back in next week to find out.
Or just Google it, Earth Knight.
But it's Tom neat. Did talk about, you talked about Tools Up earlier.
Yeah, Tools Up just came out also.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I want to play this one.
I haven't played it yet either. It's got local co-op for up to 4 players. It's got decent reviews so far on Steam. Not amazing, but it's... If you are a fan of Overcooked, it's one to look at for sure.
Okay. So it's another one of those Overcooked genres.
Yeah, the way I described it earlier was Overcooked, but like house renovation instead of cooking.
I'm terrified to play this one at home because I tried to hang a picture in my apartment with my wife recently, and I had like the level and the nail and the hammer, and she was just holding the picture, and then she just let go of it. And I was like...
That doesn't sound like a team
like, what
player.
Happened? She was like, was I supposed to hold it? And I was like, yes! I had everything else.
So it just sounds like you guys need practice.
Yeah, cool. We'll practice here.
There you go. Also coming out this week is Alien Isolation, out on the 5th for $35. It was originally for the PS3, the PS4, the 360, the Xbox One, and the PC in October 2014.
That terrible time period where everything
was
coming
in between.
For five systems.
Yeah.
Oh no, we're about to get back into that. Oh yeah. No.
I adore the atmosphere of this game, and I think the gameplay really... It has a lot going for it, but it's about 10 hours too long.
Yeah.
And that's a hard thing to say because a lot of people are like, when I buy a game, I want it to be long. I want it to have value.
Right.
But brevity is the soul of the wit. And I think also like this is longer than every Alien movie combined almost ever, yeah. Which is it's a long time. And it kind of loses its way towards the end and kind of, you know, swings back a little bit. But it's a really cool kind of like sneaky survival horror. You spend a lot of time hiding behind things and holding your breath in lockers while a giant creeping xenomorph walks by and breathes. Super creepy. I haven't played it on Switch yet, but Digital Foundry said some good stuff about it, right, Casey?
Yeah, so I was just Googling this before the show just to see what other people have said about it. And Digital Foundry put out a YouTube video with the headline, Alien Isolation Switch review, image quality is better than PS4.
Wow.
So I haven't played it, but I watched their video. It's very comprehensive. You guys want to check that out as for a comprehensive graphics comparison.
Yeah, the Foca Digital Foundry do real good stuff.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, I feel like if this was a little bit cheaper, I might double dip on it, because I know I have it. I have it digitally on and a disc somewhere at home, but you know, Nintendo Switch is where you make purchasing decisions that you shouldn't. So
because you'll always have your Switch with you. So
yeah, exactly.
You can't say the same thing about your other consoles.
Yeah, I'll also say I haven't played it myself, but I know there are other people. The opinions on this game were pretty split. Like, there were people who really loved it, and there were people who, like you, thought that it kind of was just too long and dragged. And weirdly enough, the split was kind of regional. A lot of people in the UK really loved this game, whereas people in the US didn't, were a little softer on it. So I don't know what that means for how you listening might like it, but yeah, there were people who were really into this game.
One thing that certainly didn't help the length was the loading times for that game. They're being just so long, especially on the PS3, and the PS4 version kind of helped it, but like not by a whole lot. So I'm kind of curious what that might look like on the Switch version.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I'm a huge fan of Alien, and I think they did a really good job of nailing a lot of the sort of ship interiors, graphic design. The UI is stunning, costumes, all that kind of stuff. And the Xenomorph is like genuinely scary.
Yeah. I think without a doubt, if you're an Alien fan, this is the best video game representation or sort of homage or whatever you want to call it to that, the original film, as you're ever going to see.
Yeah.
It is really wonderful what they did in terms of replicating that.
Mm-hmm. And it's much better than Colonial Marines.
Yes.
That alien is whip smart, by the way. My favorite Alien Isolation memory is I had to like sneak past the alien a bunch of times, and I kept getting got because he would just like appear in front of me, and so you would just see him like grab you by the shoulder and like knock you down, right?
Yeah.
But then one time I like ran past it and I thought I escaped, and then all of a sudden my camera fell down to the ground because the alien grabbed my character by the foot and started dragging me backwards, and you can all see that in first person from your camera's perspective. Yeah, and it's great. So
that rules. Very spooky. Also spooky is Big Pharma out on December 5th.
Is that spooky?
I don't know what this game is.
Big Pharma is a...
the concept of Big Pharma, in our world,
like
is...
real life.
Real life Big Pharma.
Yeah.
This is a hard one to explain. It's like a factory conveyor belt builder game, if you know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. So you run a pharma corporation making pills, and you have to manage this, like, factory lines where you say, okay, I'm going to take the ingredients and build a conveyor belt to put it into this type of machine, which converts it into that, and then do this, and you try to make a profit. And then you can unlock new research, new machines, and there's a whole little campaign for it. It's a really fun, if you know the type of game I'm talking about, those sort of assembly line style management games, it's a really good one for that.
Brian doesn't seem convinced.
If you're not into that type of game, you're...
No, it has nothing to do with the gameplay at all. It's just...
I think Big Pharma has a reputation at the
moment. Yeah, I mean, the concept making a profit off of, like, cancer medicine or something is gross.
Yes, and the game, it is aware of that. It does that sort of, like, it involves that in its themes of price versus humanitarianism, and, like, it addresses that stuff.
So it's sort of like Papers, Please.
It's not as explicitly trying to make a point.
So it's exactly like Papers, Please. No.
So will it let you be evil?
Yeah, you can jack up the prices, but then the market will sort of respond. There are other companies in the game that'll undercut you.
And your Switch will wake you up constantly so that you can't sleep at night.
Side effects may include. No. Yeah.
Right. Also coming out this week is Assassin's Creed The Rebel Collection, which includes Black Flag, Rogue, and all past DLC for them. I know Black Flag is a very popular Assassin's Creed here in the office because it's basically a pirate simulator.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's generally considered one of the best ones.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we haven't played these on Switch yet. So
I hope they're good because some of the Assassin's Creed ports on Switch have been kind of hit or miss.
Yeah, they have.
Yeah.
I was a little disappointed by the 3 port.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Which is kind of surprising because 3 is a last gen game. So I was a little surprised by the way that turned out.
Mm-hmm. I'm really interested to see how Black Flag runs because that was a really good game.
It's also really pretty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. And Rogue was essentially just more Black Flag but worse.
I think people like Rogue.
I don't remember the way the kind of public opinion fell, but Black Flag is considered one of the best ones, and Rogue was sort of just like an excuse to keep using their pirate engine.
Right.
It was just like more in a different tale.
I think Rogue is a great X-Man.
I might, and like, not to,
I agree
not,
with that.
Not yeah. to, you know, like turn people off from it or anything like that, but I might wait to see how it looks running
yeah.
before picking it up.
Totally.
Because it looks really good, and I would recommend like a console or PC version for like the full visual effect of it.
Yeah.
Other console. Nintendo Switch is still a console.
Yeah, right.
Whoops. Tom, I know you only have a few more minutes.
I do.
Would you rather do some question block or talk about things that we're playing?
I have to run, but okay. So I'll real quickly mention what I'm playing. Mm-hmm. So I'm still playing Pokemon. I have fourth badge. I just got mm-hmm. the fourth badge. I'm still very, very much enjoying that game. The other thing I wanted to shout out real quick is I finally started Astral Chain, which I was really hyped to play when it first came out and just didn't find the time and didn't manage to do it. And I finally started it this weekend, and oh man, that game is wild and cool. It is.
Did you get a physical copy?
Sorry?
Did you get a physical copy?
No.
It's
so crazy to me that the opening of this game is a wild anime cutscene about cyber demons into a wild anime intro with a vocal song like an anime. Yeah. And then it just, the first time you have control over the game, it's like a 5 to 10 minutes of that intro. And it immediately gives you control. You're in motion on a motorcycle that has guns on it, shooting demons in a tunnel. And you're like, what's going on? Like, it just throws you into it. I love the style. I sort of honestly forgot what Platinum looks like, mm-hmm. firing on all cylinders with a huge budget. Like, they know how to make great, great games when they really, really buckle down and do it.
Have you played Nier?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, but Nier is different. Nier is a wonderful game, yeah. but you know what I mean? Like, Nier is doing something a little different than just like a straight Platinum
action. But that
game.
Thing of like the sort of intro where you're kind of on rails shooting, mm-hmm. That's like a Platinum hallmark. They yeah. did it with Nier, and they did it with Astral Chain. I think they did it with a Bayonetta. Sort of where you're kind of like on a platform and the opening kind mm-hmm. of ties into gameplay. Anyways, that's just...
I don't remember for Bayonetta, but yeah, you're definitely yeah. right that they're good at that. They're good yeah. at throwing you into a world and just getting you hooked right away. So I'm super, super hyped to finally be playing that and to go back and see if... or to keep playing more of it as the holidays come. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I have to run. Okay. So long, everyone.
Bye, Tom.
Bye, Tom.
Man, I really wanted to get to these question block questions. They're so good. We also have so many of them this week.
We can do them.
Yeah. Do you guys have time?
Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to say, give a shout out to a game I'm playing very
yeah.
quickly.
Yeah.
I'm playing a game called Bubble Bobble for Friends.
Oh, wait. You got it on the European account.
Yes.
Okay.
That was a big pain.
I'm so sorry.
If you live in Europe and you love Star Wars and you have to wait a long time to watch The Mandalorian, I'm sorry. I understand why you're pirating it. It doesn't come out in your country on Disney Plus for a long time, and you probably really want to watch it. Also, the official accounts are spoiling it everywhere, and that sucks, and I get it, because we have every episode every Friday here in America, because it's cool, yeah. great. Usually, games come to America first, or they used to come to Japan first. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's very rare where a game comes to Europe first, and then not to America for a very long time. I'm a big old-school Bubble Bobble fan.
I love Bubble Bobble.
Yeah, me too.
I think I've told Bubble Bobble was the first game I actually wrote about ever.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh man, that's awesome. It was like one of my favorite co-op games growing up. Like, me and my brothers would play. We'd invite friends over. We had it for the NES. So when I found out Bubble Bobble was coming to Switch, I'm like, I'm all over this. It contains the original arcade game and then like a brand new co-op game with like new graphics, bosses, new power-ups. You can like upgrade your like secondary weapons, all this like stuff that's never been there before. The thing is, it's out now in Europe and doesn't come to America until like January or February.
Yeah.
And I could wait, but I couldn't wait. So I was like, let me figure out how to get this. And it was like $35, which is like basically the only way to get that was to buy European eShop points, because mm-hmm. I couldn't use an American credit card on my European account that I have on Switch so I can access the eShop. Couldn't use a PayPal account because that has to be based in the country of origin that you live in, and for me that's America. So I had to go to a site called CD Keys and buy a bunch of points cards mm-hmm. and redeem them through the European eShop. The problem is you can only buy those in like 10 or like 15, 30, and $50 increments, and I needed to spend $35. And so I bought I bought, I think, a $30 one and a $15 one, and I redeemed the $15 one, and the $30 one didn't work. So I emailed CD Keys, and after like 5 days of going back and forth, they refunded me. Mm-hmm. And then I bought two $15 ones and redeemed them. So I spent 45 European dollars to play this game based on a hope and a wish from like 20 years ago when I was a kid. And I am here to say that it's a really fun game, and I really enjoy it. Yeah.
I can't wait to play it.
Yeah. just wait till January. Don't do what I did.
I will just wait.
Yeah.
Matt, is there any game you want to give a shout out to?
No, I bought the Hotline Miami collection during the Switch holiday sale. Nice. I've played those games before, but I wanted them on the Switch and they were half off, so it was a really good steal for both of those games.
Where did you play them last?
I last played it on PC.
Okay, because I played those games on Vita.
Yeah.
And something about playing them on handheld is awesome.
Yep.
Because you can sort of like, you can like watch TV at the same time and like die a billion times, keep restarting and not feel like you're super frustrated doing it.
Yeah.
I have those games on Switch as well, and they're really, really good.
Yep. I'm having a great time. I kind of wish it was a physical edition only because that little logo art for the collection is so good.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish it, like, they just printed it out on a box and just give it to me because I want it.
Yep.
But, you know.
Yep.
Hotline Miami, I'm sure you've heard of it by now. So it's a really good game. It's good on Switch. So, you know.
Top down, very twitchy murder game where you kind of break into nightclubs and other nefarious places wearing animal masks and kill people.
It came out around the same time as the movie Drive, and so there was a lot of comparisons between the two. But I think as time moves on, you can be like, oh, they're separate things.
Yep.
Now I wanted to move on to question block.
Let's do it.
And I know that you guys weren't here. You weren't the ones to be giving me crap about turnips, but I need to bring this up anyway. And
turnips?
I hope about turnips. So the last couple of weeks, you know, we're coming up to Thanksgiving and we're asked like, what food are you looking forward to eating for Thanksgiving? And I say turnips, and then Pear and Zach and everyone just gives me a whole bunch of crap because they're like, how can you like turnips? Like, who eats turnips? Well, I'll have everyone know that when I went to the grocery store last week after our episode filmed on Wednesday, they were sold out of turnips because that's just how popular they are for Thanksgiving.
Do you think it was maybe because they only had two turnips?
No, they usually have an overabundance of turnips. It's usually never difficult to buy turnips at the grocery store.
I've heard stories of people eating turnips for Thanksgiving, and I will say, having known you for a few years now and knowing that you're from Florida, almost nothing you can say will surprise me.
That's exactly what Per and Zach said. They're like, this must be a Florida thing. It's not a Florida thing. It's an everywhere thing.
Okay.
People eat turnips. People have contacted me on Twitter to support my turnip eating.
I would eat them. I would eat almost anything, especially like every and all vegetables. I'll eat them. I'm not like, you know, a baby about any of that stuff. Have you ever had celery root?
No.
Like at a restaurant?
No, I haven't.
So it's basically a gigantic turnip that they salt the outside of, and it almost comes out like this gigantic yellow bulb. And they salt it and roast it, and you take like a big knife and cut it into slices. Yeah. And it's bizarre, but it's delicious. And I had it like at a fancy restaurant in New York City, and I was like, that's one of the most insane things I've ever eaten.
If I ever see it, I'll have to try it.
Do you mash the turnips?
Yeah, I mash the turnips. I had to settle for a rutabaga this year because the turnips were no turnips.
I'm gonna admit something here. I just had to Google image search what a turnip was, not because I didn't know what a turnip was, but like only because I eat them so infrequently that I just kind of forgot what they look like.
Yeah,
you know? Like I just had to get a.
You don't play Animal Crossing?
Casey, so you know what?
Turnips are a big, there's this entire stock market centered around turnips and Animal Crossing.
I kind of mistake those for beets, but I don't know if there's a difference.
Yeah, there's a big difference. Beets are red.
Oh.
It's what they used to.
Beets are red, and so is everything after beets.
So, yeah.
It stains everything.
Yeah, sometimes you'll be like, what happened? And then you'll have to remind yourself
that you're. Are turnips the little pickle stuff that they give you at Taquerias, the little sliced? Are those
turnips? Those are radishes.
Those are radishes. Okay.
Yeah. Radishes. Which are sort of like turnips' cousin.
Maybe that's what I'm thinking. Maybe turnips. I'm thinking of radish. Anyways, vegetables, right? They're weird. But
vegetables.
Delicious.
I kind of want to eat these now.
What vegetables does Peach throw at people in Super Mario 2?
A radish.
Oh,
a daikon radish, right?
That is a daikon radish. Yeah. Is that a turnip?
No.
Next week on Turn the Podcast.
But some of you did write it to mbc@ign.com, our email address, to tell us about your turnips. From Evan Froda. He says, my mom makes a separate batch of turnips for my grandfather whenever he's over for dinner. And like, they're fine. Turnips aren't bad by any means. But Casey is now my grandfather. Hello.
I like that his review is, they're fine?
Yeah. All right.
That's really funny. Thank you, Evan.
This one is from Josh Tarpley. And he says, turnips are a real thing at Thanksgiving. I have spoken. Thank you for your affirmation.
And Mandalorian reference.
Yeah.
And this one is from Dan Powers, who has an actual question block along with his turnip commentary. He says, first time writing in, but I listened to the last podcast after Thanksgiving, and someone in my family actually brought mashed turnips during our meal. First time I've ever had them. And let me tell you, they were great. Far better than mashed potatoes. Perhaps that's because they were mixed with bacon and cheese, delicious.
Yeah.
That's cheating.
Was it more the bacon and cheese?
Those guys are doing some heavy lifting in that one.
I also had cauliflower mac and cheese.
That's really good.
But it's bacon and cheese with cauliflower.
I had like a debate with my wife over that once, because she made cauliflower mac and cheese for my kid, and I ate it, and I was like, this is amazing. And she's like, yeah, it's like half cauliflower and then half cheese. And I'm like, that's just regular mac and cheese with cauliflower.
When you're on keto, it's all you eat.
Yeah.
Just cauliflower.
Have you had mashed cauliflower?
Yes.
Yeah, that's really good too. You can do it in like a slow cooker.
Mm-hmm. Here it is, hot take. Cauliflower better than broccoli.
That is a hot take. Yeah. I don't know. When it's covered in cheese and bacon, yes.
Mm. Broccolini better than broccoli.
Yes, that I agree with. Mm-hmm.
We're making progress here today.
Vegetable voice chat. But anyways, thanks for the insight and entertainment every week. I had a thought. I've put so much time into Fire Emblem this year, over 200 hours, and I would play it late into the night before going to sleep. I played it so much that I would even have continuing dreams about it.
Oh my God.
Have you ever played a game so much and been so immersed that it just overtakes your waking and non-waking thoughts? Thanks, and keep up the good work.
There was legit a thing in the 90s called like Tetrisitis, where people would play Tetris so often that they would see those blocks everywhere. A thing that I had that was really bad was I played a lot of GoldenEye back in the day, and a big thing in that game is shooting out security cameras so that they don't see you. And so I would go everywhere and want to do that. Like, and that's not a good thing to want to do. Like, you'd be like at the bank and you look up and you see a security camera and you'd be like,
Gotta get rid of that.
Yeah, if I had a gun with a silencer, I would shoot that right now. Like, that's a bad, bad habit to have. I never shot them though.
I've definitely remember having dreams related to video games like of this nature, but I barely remember any of my dreams, so I couldn't tell you specifically what it was I was dreaming about. But I definitely remember waking up in the morning thinking to myself, oh, that was a weird video game dream, and then just moving on with my life.
Mm-hmm.
I have a hard time remembering my dreams. That's a me thing.
I have very vivid, memorable dreams. And, actually most recently, so Sunday I was sick and I played Fire Emblem for 7 hours straight and then try to sleep. And I remember dreaming and it turned into the tactical view of the camera. And I immediately woke up because it's like my brain was like, this does not work in dream function. Like, because it was like trying to move your units like you do in the actual game.
Oh.
And that just doesn't work really well in dreams.
Right.
But I've had another dream when I was playing Skyrim a lot. And one of my biggest problems in Skyrim was aiming at a door properly. And like, you know, like, because you have to aim really specifically at small items and at door handles to open them and things.
Yeah, that small invisible reticle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I had a dream that it was dark out and there was a cabin and I needed a key to open the cabin and a horde of zombies was coming. Uh-oh. And I had the Skyrim first person view where I couldn't aim at the key that was on the ground. And I didn't realize I didn't have the key until after I'd gone to the door and I had the whole situation where I was trying to aim at the door and I couldn't do it. And then I guess I woke up and I couldn't pick up the key. Well, that was one of my video game dreams. Do you guys have time for more?
Yeah, let's do it.
Keep going.
Let's do it. We're going to have a big question block episode. I'm avoiding going back to capture fossils in Pokemon. This one is from Adam A. Hello, talkers. My partner and I played a lot of Smash Ultimate together, and I've been joking about using the ridiculous opening theme as our wedding song. I also have a short list of Zelda songs I might slip the pianist for the ceremony. What video game song would you choose for your wedding or other big event? Thanks.
Ooh. I'm married, so I had this chance already. Mm. I didn't pick a video game song, but I did pick... Well, first of all, for our engagement party, we had Mario and Peach toppers on our cake, which is like a very subtle thing. Yeah. But also, I picked Reunited by Wu-Tang for my like sort of wedding song, which I found sheet music for somehow that we gave to a harpist and a celloist, and they played it like right when we said I do, and that was really cool. What was it? I not moderated. What's the word for where you...
MC?
Handle a wedding.
I guess MC.
No, there's like a
handle the wedding. You're usher? Like,
no, you're the guy that does the, you know.
DJ?
I know.
No. The officiant.
Officiated. God, that was hard for us. I officiated Max Scoville's wedding, and he had like an Evangelion song came on. So that was cool. But no, I've never had video game stuff.
Have you?
Well, I'm probably like the furthest away from getting married, but
never say never.
Yeah, right. You know, hey, I'm, you know, my heart's open, right? Mm-hmm. No, but I don't know if you guys saw, but there's like, they do Final Fantasy themed weddings in Japan. Like, you can pay an outrageous amount of money to have your wedding look identical to the fictional wedding ceremony from Final Fantasy 14.
The Eternal Bond ceremony. I did that in the game with my partner.
Yeah,
the weddings take 140 hours and usually happen 5 years after they're supposed to.
Well, you can do that in real life in Japan, and they'll give you like a prop weapon that's identical to the one that your character wields in Final Fantasy 14.
Wow.
And you get a Square Enix cake. And
I had no idea.
Yeah, well, this is it. This is what you got.
You have a wedding coming up.
You got a wedding coming up.
You have time to pivot.
Yeah, this is great, because then we get to go to Japan. No.
That's like... No, they also have official Pokemon weddings, too. But the Eternal Bonding Ceremony, man, that was a process. In the game,
yeah,
we like, you have to send out invitations, and your friends have to actually show up at a certain time, and you pick your music and your colors, and you can pay more to have better like themes.
Oh,
and then you have to go on an internal bonding quest with your partner to earn a ring that lets you teleport to them anywhere in the game.
Oh, so you've technically already planned a wedding.
Yeah, I've already gotten married.
I think the biggest hurdle for the real life one is just the money.
I'm gonna be. So when we got married in the game, I think that was like summer of 2016. And I was actually hoping that my partner would propose to me during our in-game marriage. And he didn't. He didn't do that, obviously.
He flubbed it.
He did. He super flubbed it. But it's okay. I forgive him.
Are you glad now in hindsight that he waited for a moment that wasn't during that moment? You don't have to answer.
My looks so quiet.
Silence. Anyway, Final Fantasy 14 music would probably make good wedding music.
It would.
I agree.
I actually, so I'm glad that I actually have a list of potential wedding songs in my like
note. Oh, wow.
That I've been, because, so did you guys know that there are four songs that you choose for a wedding, or that you can? I had no idea. There's a prelude that you play while your people are waiting for you to go down the aisle. There's the processional for your bridesmaids and your people.
But isn't that one always the same song?
Yeah.
Sometimes people just play music waiting, and then music starts to signify that people are going down the aisle now.
Like load screen music.
Yeah, load screen music. Yeah. And then there's the bridal procession.
Yeah.
And then there's the recessional.
Which is like, you can kiss the bride. Hooray.
Yeah, and then you leave.
Yeah.
And then there's also interludes. There's like a whole, there are very many songs that you can choose if you can't decide just one. So, yeah, I put a lot of thought in this. I'm sorry, but...
I think you should pick, like, songs from Mario, and then if it takes a long time, do the versions of them when there's, like, it's sped
when
up.
Dying, yeah. And you have to speed it up.
Yeah, and you have to get to the end quicker.
That's a really good idea.
I was joking. Don't do that.
No, do that. And, like, when you're leaving the aisle. Yeah, there you go. It's done. Please leave.
Is it the Sonic You're Drowning music?
Walk, walk.
I was going to make a really mean wedding joke, but I just, I won't do it. It's okay.
That's okay. Yeah. You can save it for after the show.
After the show, yes. Well, hey, thank you everyone so much for writing in. And Brian and Matt, thank you so much for joining me on NBC this week. Where can they find you online?
You can find me at Agent Bizzle on Twitter and Brian Altano at Instagram.
You can find me at Law of TD on Twitter and I think the same on Instagram.
Matt, what does that mean?
It's a whole thing. It's a Simpsons reference. I'm just going to leave it at that. It's a Simpsons reference, and I made it when I was younger and kind of an idiot. So actually, it doesn't make sense in hindsight, but I can't change it now because I'm verified on Twitter, and like they won't let you change it or else you lose a thing. Anyways, it's like a thing. It's a Simpsons reference. I'll stop at that. Yeah.
Perfect.
Good to know.
Yeah.
Well, hey, thank you so much for watching. Remember, you can watch NBC or listen to NBC on your favorite podcasting platform like Spotify or Apple Podcasts or IGN.com or YouTube.com. That's about it.
Yeah.
You can
leave
see us
a
next
review
week.
Somewhere.
Yeah, on Thursdays at 3 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you so much for watching. Remember, this is the only place you can
get the thing.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.